All right, is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on.
Is it on now? Yes. Okay, good. Marhaba. It's the only thing I know how to say in Arabic, even though it doesn't make sense to say right now. We had a great homemade Jordanian cooking from Rima today. We're really enjoying our time here in Jordan. Okay, now the topic tonight is completely different from last night. No relationship at all. Now, tonight's talk, it actually has two different titles. Title number one, Freedom in Christ. Title number two, The Golden Rule of Membership. And hopefully you'll see that these are a little bit related. I want to talk about freedom. I want to talk about freedom. You know, I'm an American. You probably noticed that. And in America, we really love our freedom, you know? In fact, freedom is almost like a religion, you know? Now, one of my favorite movies, it's Braveheart, you know?
Braveheart.
Just, freedom! He says, you can take my life, but you'll never take my freedom. That gets my blood going. I like that. You know, we all like freedom, right? But here's a question. What's so good about freedom? You know, we all assume freedom's a good thing. But what's so good about freedom? One person says, what's good about freedom is you can do whatever you want. Well, that's the definition of freedom. That's not what I'm asking. I'm saying, why is it such a good thing? Let me give you my own answer. What's good about freedom? It really depends on what you do with your freedom. But here's what I know. When you do things because you have to, when you do things because you're obligated, there's not much satisfaction in that. But when we do things out of freedom, when we commit our heart to something because we want to, and we see the fruit of our work, that's when freedom is a good thing. So the question is not whether you're free. The question is, what are you doing with your freedom? Now, the subject tonight is freedom in Christ. Let me tell you about when I went off to the university. It's different in America. Here, you go to the university, but you still live with your parents, right? Right? Not in America. So here's how it worked. My parents drive me to the university. They drop me off at the dormitory. See you in 3 months. It was awesome. I could do whatever I wanted to. No parents to tell me what to do. I could come home as late as I wanted to. I could go to class or not go to class. It was great. But here's the question. What did I do with my freedom? Get drunk, smoke marijuana, and act like a fool.
أشرب حشيش وأتصرف كغبي.
You know, Americans, they love their freedom.
الأمريكان كثير بيحبوا الحرية.
But what do they do with their freedom?
بس شو اللي بيعملوه بالحرية؟
Make a bigger house.
يعملوا بيت أكبر.
Watch sports.
يتفرج على الرياضة.
Go shopping.
بروحوا شوبينج. زين.
What good is that freedom?
شو فائدة الحرية؟
Now let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1.
هنفتح على غلاطيا إصحاح 5 وعدد 1.
I want to talk about the freedom we have in Christ.
بدي أحكي على الحرية التي لنا في المسيح. 5 وعدد 1. Galatians 5:1.
Yes, just verse 1.
عدد 1. فاثبتوا إذن في الحرية التي قد حررنا المسيح بها ولا ترتبكوا أيضا بنير العبودية.
Now, Paul says something very strange here. He says, the reason God set us free was so that we would be free. Well, isn't that obvious? Isn't that strange? Let me explain how I think about that. Now, I'm going to use you as an example here, okay? I think God's saying, I've set you free. Really? I mean, I'm serious. I really made you free? We have amazing freedom in Christ. Freedom from what? What do you think? From sin? That's not what he's talking about here. Now, in Christ, we have freedom from sin, but that is not what he's talking about
here.
You have to look at the context. He's talking about freedom from obligation. Freedom from law. Freedom from you have to. I want to tell you, we have a lot of freedom in Christ. You don't have to share your faith. You don't have to read your Bible. I mean, if you're saved, you're saved. And doing those things doesn't make you any more saved than you already were. We have a lot of freedom in Christ. So, in the context, it's freedom from obligation. Because in Judaism, they had all these laws. It's like on a treadmill. You know, it's like you're running. And you're never getting anywhere. That's what the law was like. But in Christ we have freedom. Some of us don't live that way though. Even as Christians, some of us live like we're on a treadmill. We go to church because we have to. We read our Bible because we have to. We avoid sin because we have to. No, Christ set you free so that you would really be free. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verse 6.
لأنه في المسيح يسوع لا الختان ينفع شيئا ولا الغلة بل الإيمان العامل بالمحبة.
So it says here,
اللي عم بقوله هون,
the only thing that matters
الإشي الوحيد اللي مهم
is faith expressing itself in love.
هو إن الإيمان يعبر عنه بمحبة.
Wouldn't it be better to share your faith with somebody because you want to?
مش أفضل إنك تشارك إيمانك مع حدا لأنه أنت بدك تشارك إيمانك؟
Because you love God?
Allah,
then because you have to?
مجبر,
some of you have been in our church for many years. I remember many years ago we had an accountability list. Remember that? And we write down how many people we shared our faith with. And how much time we spent reading the Bible. And how much time we spent praying. I can remember praying for 20 more minutes. Praying 20 extra minutes. So I could write it down on the list. That's not freedom in Christ. So the question is this. What are you doing for God? Because you want to. Because you love Him. Because Jesus set you free from obligation. But here's the question. Alright, He set us free. But free in order to do what? I'm going to bring Jan up here in a minute to do some sharing. But I want to read another verse in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13 through 15.
من 13 ل15 فإنكم إنما دعيتم للحرية أيها الإخوة غير أنه لا تصير الحرية فرصة للجسد بل بالمحبة اخدموا بعضكم بعضا لأن كل الناموس في كلمة واحدة يكمل تحب قريبك كنفسك فإذا كنتم تنهشون وتأكلون بعضكم بعضا فانظروا لألا تفنوا بعضكم بعضا.
Now, according to Paul, some people abuse their freedom. We don't have to share our faith. So we don't even share our faith. You don't have to have discipling. So you don't even have discipling. That's the opposite of what He gave our freedom for. According to this verse, what does God want us to use our freedom to do?
He
says to serve one another. To make yourself a slave. What does God want you to do with your freedom? To be a slave. A voluntary slave. To serve other people. Let me give an illustration. Let's say we have a marriage. The husband reads Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. So the husband says to his wife, you submit to me. How's that marriage going to go? Not so good. Wouldn't it be better if she loved him? And she submitted to him because she wanted to? So I have a better suggestion. The husband says to the wife, how can I serve you? How can I meet your needs? That'd be so much better. Besides, that man forgot to read Ephesians 5:21. That says, submit to one another. So here's my suggestion. Make yourself a slave. A voluntary slave. Meet the needs of disciples in the church. And meet the needs of outsiders. Say, I'm yours. Maybe they even take advantage of you. That's okay. Well, maybe it's not okay. But you're willing to let that happen in order to serve other people. So now I'm going to let Jan share a little bit about what it means to her. How she believes we should use our freedom in Christ. Okay, that'll work.
Well, first of all, I want to say...
You have to...
First of all, I wanted to say when she had the ahdi, but I'm very happy to be here. I'm pleasantly surprised that I love it so much. Never been here before. And I had no expectation. I did not know what to expect. But I'm actually very delighted to meet you. To experience the love of the church. So as my husband has said, we have freedom in Christ. And I'm really happy that we have that freedom, that I can choose to follow God. I don't have to follow God. I want
you have to
follow. In the scripture that he read in Galatians 5:13, it said to use your freedom to serve one another in love. أن نستخدم حريتنا التي لنا في المسيح حتى نخدم بعضنا بعضا. And there's a reason for that. It really makes a difference if you serve in love. في سبب لهذا الحكي لأنه بيعمل فرق كبير لما نخدم بمحبة. In the church there are many needs. في الكنيسة هناك احتياجات كثيرة. And often you feel like I have to go serve. كثير مرات بنشعر انه انا مضطره او لازم اروح اخدم. But let me just tell you about a situation in my life. خليكم عن حاله في حياتي. In our church there was a couple. في كنيستنا كان في couple. The wife died from cancer. الزوجه توفت بسبب السرطان. The husband suffered for a whole year of sadness. والزوج عانى جدا من الحزن بعد موتها. He fell, hit his head, and died. وقع على راسه ومات. It happened one year later. They left a daughter who was about 23 years old. تركوا بنت صبية عمرها 23 سنة. Who is our sister in Christ, right? وهي أخت إلنا في الكنيسة في كنيستنا في سان دييغو. Well, very quickly she had to clean his house, his apartment, so they could move out. Well, the church saw the need. John and I know the mother, the father, and the daughter. So on Saturday morning, we go there early to help her move everything out and to clean. Her auntie was there and saw what we did.
Aunt.
The father's sister. She was so moved by all our work, all the things, all our sacrifice, everything we did. We were happily cleaning. We were happily picking up heavy furniture and moving it. Trying to help the daughter in any way that we could. And it wasn't just us, it was other people. The woman, the aunt, decided that that's what she wanted to have in her life.
العمة بعد ما شافت هذا الحكي قررت وقالت أنا هذا الشيء بدي يكون بحياتي.
Because the church that she attended would only meet on would be family on Sunday only.
لأنه الكنيسة اللي كانت هي ملتزمة فيها كان بس كانوا عائلة بس في أيام الاجتماعات يوم الأحد بس كانوا عائلة.
But if they needed to move or were sick,
إذا احتاجوا شيء ينقلوا من بيتهم أو كانوا مرضى ما كان في حدا بيوقف لحدا.
So she came to church. I'm happy to say.
إجت العمة فرحانة بشارككم إنه إجت العمة للكنيسة.
She learned what true family was like.
وتعلمت أكثر شو يعني العيلة الحقيقية.
She's your sister in Christ.
وهي الآن تلميذة أخت إلنا في الكنيسة في سان دييغو. Amen.
But it was because we served one another.
كل هذا لأنه شافت كيف نخدم بعضنا بعضا بمحبة.
آمين.
Great example, Jan.
مثل رائع.
So my question is this.
سؤالي هو.
Why do you read the Bible?
ليه بتقرأ الإنجيل؟
Why do you come to church?
ليه بتيجي على الكنيسة؟
Why do you join these ministries?
ليه تنضم لهاي الخدمات؟
The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love.
الإشي الوحيد اللي له معنى إنه الإيمان بيعبر عنه بمحبة.
What are you doing with the freedom that God gave you? Let's read another passage on this topic. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 16 and
17. بل كعبيد الله أكرم الجميع أحب الإخوة خاف الله أكرم الملك.
And actually in verse 13 it says submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority.
بعد 13 بحكي فاخضعوا لكل ترتيب بشري من أجل الرب إن كان الملك فكمن هو فوق الكل.
And again it's kind of a paradox, you know, paradox. It's ironic, a paradox. He says, live like free people and then submit yourself. It almost seems like a contradiction. But in Christianity, it's not a contradiction at all. Because we do it freely. We do it out of love. It's not obligation. And there's great satisfaction.
بالعكس في رضا كامل لهذا الموضوع.
When we do it in that way.
لما نعمل الأمور بهاي الطريقة.
So he says, live like free people.
عيشوا كأحرار.
That means you make your own choices.
أنت لك كل الخيارات.
But then you take responsibility for those choices.
أنت تتحمل مسؤولية هاي الخيارات.
And again, there's as great satisfaction in that.
وأيضاً في رضا عظيم.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 1 and 2. I call 1 Corinthians chapter 9 the Christian Bill of Rights. In America, we have a thing called the Bill of Rights. Maybe you have something like that here. I don't know. The freedom of expression and, you know, those things. Let's see what Paul says about his rights as a Christian.
ألست أنا حرا أما رأيت يسوع المسيح ربنا ألستم أنتم عملي في الرب إن كنت لست رسولا من الآخرين فإنما أنا إليكم رسول لأنكم أنتم ختموا رسالتي في الرب.
Yep. So Paul asks this.
بولس بيسأل.
In Christ, am I free?
هل أنا حر؟
What's the answer?
شو الجواب؟
طبعا. See, Paul could have lived wherever he wanted to.
بولس كان ممكن يعيش محل ما بده.
He could have taken any job he wanted to.
كان ممكن يأخذ أي وظيفة بده إياها.
He had a lot of rights.
كان عنده كثير حقوق.
He was an apostle.
كان رسول.
He had a right for them to respect him.
كان له حق إنه يحترموه.
Oh, even to obey him.
حتى إنهم يطيعوه.
He had a right to have a family.
كان عنده حق يكون عنده عائلة.
A wife and children.
زوجة وأولاد.
All the things that people normally expect to have.
كل الأشياء الطبيعية الناس تتوقعها تكون عندها.
Paul had many rights.
بولس كان عنده حقوق كثيرة.
But here's the question.
بس هنا السؤال.
What did he do with his rights?
شو اللي عمله بهاي الحقوق؟
Let's read verse 12.
نقرأ من عدد لعدد 12.
Verse 12.
إن كان آخرون شركاء في السلطان عليكم أفلسنا نحن بالأولى لكننا لم نستعمل هذا السلطان بل نتحمل كل شيء لئلا نجعل عائقا لإنجيل المسيح.
Paul said, I give up all my rights.
أنا بستسلم وبعطي كل حقوقي.
Again, Christianity, it's kind of a strange religion if you think about it.
المسيحية ديانة غريبة إذا تفكر في الموضوع.
The Christian is the most free person in the world.
المسيحي هو أكثر شخص حر في العالم.
We belong to no one except God. So what do we do with our freedom?
شو بنسوي بهاي الحرية؟
We give it up.
نعطيها ونسلمها للناس.
That's what Paul did. Do you think Paul ever felt a sense of loss?
هل عمرك بتعتقد إنه بولس كان مثلا فكر إنه خسر شيء؟
Never had a wife and children.
إنه ما كان عنده زوجة وأولاد.
Never had a secure career.
ما كان عنده مستقبل آمن.
He went from place to place.
تنقل من مكان لمكان.
Do you think he ever felt a sense of loss?
هل عمرك شعرت إنه فكر إنه خسر أشياء؟
I think he did.
طبعا.
But it was worth it.
بس كان كل الأمور
it was
مستهلة.
Completely worth it.
مستهلة كل إشي عمله.
Now, Paul said, I have a right to be paid.
بولس قال أنا لي الحق أن تدفعوا لي.
He says, don't pay me.
بس ما تدفعوا
لي. I don't want you to pay me.
ما بدي تدفعوا لي.
Let's read verse 15.
عدد 15.
It's kind of a long reading. From 15 all the way down to verse 23.
من 15 إلى 23. أما أنا فلم أستعمل شيئا من هذا ولا كتبت هذا لكي يصير في هكذا لأنه خير لي أن أموت من أن يعطل أحد فخري لأنه كنت أبشر فليس لي فخر إذا الضرورة موضوعة علي فويل لي إن كنت لا أبشر فإنه إن كنت أفعل هذا طوعا فلي أجر ولكن إن كان كرها فقد استؤمنت على وكالة فما هو أجري إذ وأنا أبشر أجعل إنجيل المسيح بلا نفقة حتى لم أستعمل سلطاني في الإنجيل فإني إذ كنت حرا من الجميع استعبدت نفسي للجميع لأربح الأكثرين فصرت لليهود كيهودي لأربح اليهود وللذين تحت الناموس كأني تحت الناموس لأربح الذين تحت الناموس وللذين بلا ناموس كأني بلا ناموس مع أني لست بلا ناموس لله بل تحت ناموس المسيح لأربح الذين بلا ناموس صرت للضعفاء كضعيف لأربح الضعفاء صرت للكل كل شيء لأخلص على كلها حال قوما وهذا أنا أفعله لأجل الإنجيل لأكون شريكا فيه.
So Paul says,
اللي بقول بولس,
I have many rights.
عندي حقوق كثيرة.
He says, I give them all up.
أنا كلها بتبرع فيها وما بديها.
He says, whatever you do,
كل اللي بتعملوه,
don't pay me.
ما تدفعوا لي.
Because if you pay me to preach,
عشان أوعظ,
then I'm obligated.
فأنا موضوع تحت.
He says, I'd rather do it for free.
أنا بفضل أعمله مجانا.
Let me tell you why Jan and I came to Jordan.
هي أقول لكم ليش جان وأنا جينا الأردن.
You know why we came to Jordan?
تعرفوا ليش؟
Because we want to.
لأنه بدنا.
It's our great pleasure.
هذا من دواعي سرورنا.
You know how much they're paying us to come here? Zero. We paid our own way. But really, there's more satisfaction in that, isn't there? You know, it's hard to work for the church. Really? For me, If I'm studying the Bible with somebody, why am I studying the Bible with them? Because I want to. I like seeing people become a Christian. But if I work for the church, why am I in on this Bible study? Am I here because it's my job? Or because I love God? That's harder than you think. We need to appreciate the ones who work for the church. For us, it's easier, really. Now, if I work for the church, would they let me go away for 3 weeks, you know, teaching all around the world? Probably not. So Paul said, don't pay me. Because if you pay me, then I'm obligated. He says, I became all things to all people. To the Jew, I become like a Jew. Then I can help the Jew. To the Palestinian, I become like a Palestinian. So I can help the Palestinians. To the poor, I become like poor. To the rich, I become like rich. He says, I gave up all my rights so I can save as many as possible. We're very familiar with this verse. But it's verse 23 that I think we don't notice. He says, I do these things so I can share in its blessings. A lot of us are holding on to our rights. Oh, you're asking too much. You have no right to treat me that way. Who are you to tell me what to do? We throw away the blessing. Think about this. Who does the world say, I'm not talking about the church, just the world say is truly great? The greatest people. I think of Nelson Mandela. I think of Mahatma Gandhi. I think of Mother Teresa. Martin Luther King. Jesus. What do they all have in common? They gave up everything. They gave up their freedom. And they became great. So what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to sacrifice? You don't have to. If you had to, it wouldn't be so satisfying. Who gets the greatest blessing from our visit here? That's an easy question. We do. The more you serve, the more blessing. Did Paul sometimes get a sense of loss? Of course he did. He missed out on the things the world seems normal. But there was so much greater reward. Now I'm going to have Jan share a little bit about what it means to do things, give up your freedom. Okay?
He says, I make myself a slave to everyone. Why? To win as many as possible. To the weak, I became weak. And when I think of what we choose to do, there are so many things to do.
Every single day.
there are some easy things that you can do that will really make a difference.
في كتير أمور كتير سهل إنه نعملها وتعمل فرق كبير.
Simple, like open the door for people.
أشياء بسيطة ممكن أفتح الباب إن شاء الله لحدا.
Smile at people.
أبتسم ابتسامة للناس.
And you know, let a pregnant lady go first in line to the bathroom.
ممكن ست حامل هم عندهم كتير لأن راح أقف على الدور بالحمامات فخليها تفوت قبلي.
Okay. Serve people who have hurt you.
أخدم حتى الناس اللي أذتني شخصيا.
That's not so easy.
هذا الإشي مش كتير سهل.
Because you know you feel like you they hurt you and you don't deserve to help them at all.
مرات بشعر إن هذول الناس أذوني وما بستاهلوا إني أخدمهم.
But the blessing comes when you go ahead and do it anyway.
ولكن البركة تيجي لما أقوم وأعمل هذا الحكي أخدمهم حتى هم أذوني.
It also means helping people who are weak. It says, "To the weak, I became weak."
أساعد الناس الضعفاء الضعيف أكون ضعيف من أجله.
And I'll share about a lady who came to church.
حابي أشارككم عن أخت جت للكنيسة.
She had been traumatized in her life.
هاي المرة انصدمت كثير بحياتها.
Things that I cannot even mention.
حتى أشياء ما بقدر أذكرها.
Then she joined the Navy.
بعدين التحقت بالأحلية الأمريكية.
Because of the promise of an education.
لأنه وعدوها إنه يكونوا عم بتنال التعليم هناك.
While she was in the Navy, she was raped by a fellow Navy person.
لما راحت على البحرية اغتصبت هناك وهي في البحرية.
When she came to our church,
لما إجت على الكنيسة,
she was afraid of everyone.
كانت خايفة من كل حدا.
She thought surely everyone was out to harm her.
كانت مفكرة إنه كل حدا راح يكون عم بيأذيها شخصيا.
He couldn't know us. Don't touch me.
ما بدها حدا يضرها.
He wouldn't look into your eyes.
ما تطلع بعينيك وتحكي معها.
She always needed to have people between her two sisters. One here.
دائما كانت تحتاج أختين حواليها حتى تكون شعارة الاطمئنان. واحدة من اليمين واحدة من اليسار.
Because
you know how we are. We want to go hug everybody. لأنه إحنا دائما بنحب نروح نسلم على الكل ومعرضين إنه يكون معنا ناس.
When she saw her coming, she. But I can tell you now that understanding her hurt.
لأنه فهمنا الأذى اللي هي كانت تعرضت له.
Loving her.
محبتها محبتنا إلها.
Being patient with her.
وكنا صبورين عليها وعلى وضعها وحالتها.
Showing her God's love through the Bible.
شاركنا معها محبة المسيح من خلال كلمة الله.
It changed her.
غيرت كليا هاي المرة.
It changed her so much, brothers and sisters.
غيرها بطريقة كبيرة أيها الإخوة والخوات.
Now she is on the worship team.
هي الآن تخدم في فريق العبادة في الكنيسة.
That is a humongous change.
هذا تغيير رائع وكبير كثير بالنسبة لها.
And do you know what great pleasure I get to receive her?
الفرح الكبير اللي بشعره في داخلي.
Do you know how encouraged I am when I see her?
قديش بكون متشجعة لما أشوفها.
And I see her every Sunday morning.
كل أحد صباحا بشوفها.
It makes me happy. Gives me courage to do it again.
في فريق العبادة تعطيني سعادة وتعطيني شجاعة إني أعمل هذا الحكي مرة ومرة ومرة.
It says here that I make myself a slave to everyone.
استعبدت نفسي للجميع.
To win as many.
لأربح الأكثرين. Amen.
Oh, no, you can keep that, I guess. Great. Thank you very much, Jan. Now, I've got a question.
عندي سؤال.
How many of you are in the ministry?
كم من واحد فيكم بالخدمة أو بيخدم?
Raise your hand if you're in the ministry.
ارفع إيدك إذا أنت بتخدم.
All right, wait a minute. Now,
ministry as a full-timer?
I'm sure as well.
I thought these are Christians, all right? Translate for me, please.
Okay.
I thought every Christian was a minister of reconciliation. I thought all Christians were the same in that way. So let me ask that question again. How many of you are in the ministry? All right, good. Yeah. So how about the full-time ministry? Yeah. We're all in the full-time ministry. What's really good is I get paid by the state of California. They're paying me to be a minister. But here's the question. If we're all ministers, well then, what is our ministry? So let's read Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 through 10. See, I tricked you. I'm sorry, I tricked you.
لأنكم بالنعمة مخلصون بالإيمان وذلك ليس منكم هو عطية الله ليس من أعمال كي لا يفتخر أحد لأننا نحن عمله مخلوقين في المسيح يسوع لأعمال صالحة قد سبق الله فأعدها لكي نسلك فيها.
According to this passage,
بالنسبة لهذا العدد,
we're saved by grace.
نحن مخلصون بالنعمة.
Not by works.
مش بالأعمال.
So, we're not on that treadmill. You know what? If you're saved, you're saved. And nothing you do makes you any more saved than you already were. If you share your faith with 100 people, or with 0 people, you're just as saved. So, you get to serve. You don't have to serve. You can live wherever you want, or you could go on a mission team. Your choice. That's great. We're saved by grace. We're free in Christ. We're not saved by works, but according to this passage, we're saved for works. Not saved by works. Saved for work. See, God has a work for you to do. And you will not be happy unless you're doing that work. But you do it because you want to, right? So what is that work you should be doing? Here's my suggestion. It's using the gift that He gave you. One of my favorite movies. This is a really, really old movie. Maybe you remember the song. Da, 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 da. Anybody remember that song? All right. Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire?
Yeah, chariots. Chariots, you know. It's about a runner. He was from Scotland. And he was an Olympic runner. And one of the lines in that movie, he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Because his gift was running. So he ran for the Lord. Maybe your gift is sports. Maybe your gift is sports. So I say, you're the minister of sports. Maybe your gift is giving. Then you have the giving ministry. Maybe your gift is fixing cars. Then I say you're the car fixing minister. So I say start the car fixing ministry. Friday morning. Free car fixing clinic. Anybody who comes, free car fixing. The only thing is, you have to come to church. I bet you get a lot of visitors at church, don't you think so? And the thing is, you love fixing cars. I don't love fixing cars. But let's say that's your gift. You have to think big. Because of the car fixing ministry, 3 years from now, 5 people are going to be saved for Christ. Right? But you have to think big. Because 10 years from now, there's going to be a car fixing ministry in Beirut. And a car fixing ministry in Dubai. And a car fixing ministry in Istanbul. And 15 years from now, you're going to have the car fixing ministry conference. And they're all going to come here. And you're going to be the main speaker. Jan's gift is organizing events for God. She loves organizing events. I don't like that at all, actually. I'll just give a few examples. A few years ago, she said to me, John, we used to have fun events as a church all the time. It's been years since we did one of those things. Now, what would most of us do about that? Oh, those leaders, they're doing a lousy job. What's wrong with them? They should make more fun events. Well, maybe that's not their gift. Maybe the evangelist's gift is evangelism. So what should they be doing? Evangelizing, not organizing events. Because if everybody has the ministry of their gift, a lot of things happen. So my wife arranged like a barn dance, or like a Western barn dance. That's just something in America. I can't explain it. So she hired the dance instructor. She found the location, arranged all the decorations and all the food. And the leaders just show up and have fun. And a few months later, Jan said to me, we used to have a banquet for the marrieds every year. We haven't had a banquet for, I don't know, 5 years or so. Why not? You can guess what my wife did. Nobody asked her to. She went to the leaders and said, I'm going to put on a marriage banquet. She found the location, chose the menu. Now, our ministry is with singles. So the singles did the babysitting. The singles did the entertainment. You know what the leaders did? They showed up and had fun. And then, just a couple months later, my wife Jan said, we have a lot of Spanish speakers in our church, but there's nothing to help them understand. So she went and made it's hard to explain, a selling of some kind of Mexican food. It was a huge production. And we made almost $1,000 from selling them. And now we have the equipment for the Spanish speakers. And then a few months later, my wife said to me, we've never had a Christian rock concert. She said, I think we should have a Christian rock concert. Well, you can guess what happened. Yeah, we had a Christian rock concert. Maybe you know who Brian Craig is? He wrote some of the songs that we sing. He said, Brian, have you ever put on a Christian rock concert? No, not really. Well, do you want to? Sure. So we had a Christian rock concert. Because when my wife arranges events for Christ, she feels God's pleasure. What's your gift? What are you doing with your gift? Are you keeping it to yourself? You have to think big. Maybe you need to get training. Maybe your gift is counseling people. Maybe you need to get a degree in counseling. Counseling, like psychological counseling. All right, Jan's going to share.
Well, it's hard to follow that act. It's hard to follow what he said. But do you think John gets great pleasure from teaching? Do you?
Yes.
He loves teaching. If any of you are teachers and you have students, they get it. That gives you great pleasure. John started studying the Bible and learning more and more as a very young Christian.
John started.
And then we asked him to share. Here's this young Christian sharing lessons, deep lessons from the Bible. When we got married, he had this huge folder about the book of Daniel.
لما تزوجنا كان عنده ملف كبير عن دراسة السفر دانيال.
His friend said, John, you should write a book.
كل أصدقاء كان يقولوا له جون لازم تكتب كتاب.
So he's had this gift for a long time.
عنده هاي الموهبة منذ زمن طويل. موهبة التعليم.
His gift
is teaching. موهبته هي التعليم.
But he couldn't teach unless he learned the Bible.
ما كان قادر يعلم إلا لما درس الكتاب المقدس.
And God blessed him with a great memory. He knows the scripture. People in our church bring visitors, bring many people to him. So they can understand the scripture. John is also relatable.
John is كثير متفهم ومتفاعل.
It doesn't matter if they're highly educated or if they have no education. He can speak to them in a
language,
in a loving way
so
they can learn and grow. He's willing to be tired. He is willing to. He's willing to eat strange food. To go to countries where he doesn't know the language. We get to the airport and he's like, where do we go? But he does it all the time. Many, many, many flights.
كثير سفريات. عشان يعلم.
He is willing to do whatever he needs to do to help our Christians grow in their faith.
بحب يعمل كل شيء بيقدر يعمله عشان يساعد الناس في إيمانهم المسيحي.
Because
عدد ممكن من الناس.
He has become all things to all men.
أصبح كل شيء لكل الناس.
So that he may share in the blessing.
حتى يقدر يشارك في البركة.
Thank you.
Amen.
That's very embarrassing. Now I know how Jan feels when I share about her. That's very embarrassing. But it is true that I'm willing to be very tired. I've ended up in the hospital more than once. But I want you to have a vision. I remember one time when I was writing my first book, the leader in the church said to me, "Who asked you to write that book?" I didn't listen to that brother. You don't have to ask permission to use your gift. Now, don't do your own thing. We need to work together with the church. So maybe your gift is computers. Well, then make a website. Maybe your gift is working with money. Well, then start a finance class for the church. Maybe your gift is leading. Well, then go out and lead. You know, a few years ago, we had a gathering of leaders in the church to find out what people thought should be done. One of the brothers said, "We need training in leadership." I came next. I said, "Well, that's a good idea. But I think we need training in membership." We have some lousy members. They're doing a bad job of being a member. So then I wrote a book on that topic. It's over there. It's called Golden Rule Membership. So I came up with a 5-part outline. I'll go over this very fast. Point number one, a good member takes responsibility for their relationship with God. You shouldn't need to be reminded to pray and to have, to be close to God. But you already know that. Point number two. Each one a minister. Each one a full-time minister. Just willingly offering their gift. Whatever it is. Music. I don't know. Whatever it is. Point number three. Willingly offer yourself to the leaders. That's what I call Golden Rule Membership. You know the Golden Rule, right? It says, do to others what you wish they would do to you. So let me give this rule for members of the church. Treat the leaders the way that you would want to be treated if you were the leader. That would solve a lot of our problems. I'll tell you that right now. If you were the leader and you were saying to the church, let's do this, what would you want the members to do? To support. Right? If you were the leader, would you want 20 calls a day? Why not? Why aren't we doing this? What's wrong with this? Blah, 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 blah. Would you want that? I don't think you'd want that. So what if you disagree? I say, be quiet. Not all the time, though. Because we have freedom in Christ. And if you have a very strong conviction, then you should say something. Because if I was the leader, and somebody had a very, very strong feeling, I'd want them to tell me. But here's how you should do it. Brother, that decision you made, I don't agree with that. And here's why. But I'm going to support you 100%. You know what? I want a leader that leads powerfully. But what if the people aren't following? How can the church go anywhere if the members won't follow? Now there's two ways this could work. The leader says, you do this, you do this, you do this. That's not the Christian way. So I say, willingly submit yourselves to your leaders. Hebrews 13, verse
17
is still in my Bible. I haven't heard it preached for a long time, but it's still in my Bible. Here's what it says.
13:17, correct?
Yep. So it says here, submit to your leaders.
It
says they have a job to watch out over you. Now, if you don't support what the leaders are trying to do, who is hurt by that according to this verse? According to this verse, if you don't support your leaders, who's hurt by that? You're hurt by that. Now, I'm not your leader. So I can say this. If Sammy got up here and said, hey, you submit to your leaders, that'd be kind of hard to listen to. But we do it willingly. Remember, we have freedom in Christ. You don't have to support what they're doing. You don't go to hell if you don't support what they're trying to do. But do it anyway. Why? Because you want to. Because you love Jesus. I think that's a lot better. Point number four. Offer yourself to one another. We call that discipling. You know a lot about that. I won't talk about that. Last point. Offer yourself to the work of the church. Let's go to Haggai. Haggai. Chapter 1. Verse 2 through 6. Haggai, right? How do you say that?
Haji.
Haji, really? Okay. Haji. Haji. Interesting. Haji.
تأكلون وليس إلى الشبع تشربون ولا تلون تكتسون ولا تدفعون والآخر أجرى يأخذ أجرى الكيس المذكور منقوب.
So the people are saying, yeah, we don't have time to build the temple. And God says, well, that's interesting, because you have time to build your house. You have time to take care of your own situation. So what's he say? He says, go out into the hills, bring down wood, and build the temple. We give ourselves to the work of the church. You're free in Christ. But great joy will come from that. Let's finish by reading one more passage. It kind of summarizes the whole thing. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. We'll finish there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. That's right. It's on it's on this side, not on that side. Right? It's like 1 Peter.
ليكن كل واحد بحسب ما أخذ موهبة يخدم بها بعضكم بعضا كوكلاء صالحين على نعمة الله المتنوعة. إن كان يتكلم أحد فكأقوال الله، وإن كان يخدم أحد فكأنه بقوة يمنحها الله لكي يتمجد الله في كل شيء بيسوع المسيح الذي له المجد والسلطان.
We probably could have just read this verse for the whole lesson, really. You know, we have freedom in Christ. It's great. You have a wide range of what you could do with your energy. But what are you going to do with your freedom? God suggests, make yourself a slave. Submit yourself to other people. Put yourself at their service. You have many rights, but willingly give them up so many can come to Christ. That's where the joy of Christianity comes from. It's using your gift to serve God. I want you to have a vision. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. It's going to be a ministry. Many people will be won to Christ. So what are you doing with your freedom? I'm sorry if I went a little bit too long tonight. But I hope you were encouraged. Thank you.
Let's see if they have questions concerning this subject.
This topic, okay.
It was very clear, so I don't know.
Yeah, maybe no questions.
He has a question.
Question or not a question?
I don't know.
مساعده يعني مثلا انا انت بتقول لي انا اعطيك حريتك تسوي اللي بدك
اياه. You're saying that I should give you freedom and you do whatever you want. I want to go to church, I want to read the Bible, I have the choice. I want to evangelize or not.
اذا هذا الحكي انا كمسيحي مش عم بدور قلبي لا بدي اقرا انجيل ولا بدي اجي على الكنيسه ولا بدي
اقرا انجيل. I don't want to come to church, I don't want to read my Bible. How would you help me?
انه اسوي هذا الحكي لانه عندي الحريه الكافيه اني ما اسويهاش كله.
Because I have all the freedom.
بس انا مش عم بسلك الطريق المضبوط.
But I'm not taking the right choices.
Okay. Well, that's not what God wants you to do with your freedom. See, when we control people too much, they never grow up. And they never learn how to behave like a mature person. And sometimes when we give people freedom, we're afraid. It's like a parent that controls their children too much. They don't learn how to be mature. And when they leave the house, they go crazy. So, you know, it's kind of scary to give more freedom. But I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to do things because we love Him. I didn't say you do whatever you want. That's the opposite. God wants you to submit yourself to your leaders, to one another. So if we do it out of obligation, I guess that's better than not doing it at all. By the way, there are still rules in Christianity, right? Sin is still sin. You're not free to go sinning. And there are some obligations in Christianity. We're obligated. I mean, the Bible says, do not give up meeting together. Coming to church is not negotiable. Okay, and giving sacrificially to the church is not negotiable. But I'm talking about the way we serve. And I believe, for example, that you decide what job you take. You decide who you share with. And I believe we'll have much more joy in Christ if we do it that way. So it is a little scary when we have less control. But then people become mature. So if I created the impression you get to do whatever you want in Christianity, that's the opposite. You know, Paul said, don't use your freedom to sin. No, use your freedom to serve. He assumes if we use our freedom properly, we'll do much more than if it's out of obligation. Because the motive of obligation, we get burned out. We lose our energy. But if we do it out of love, and Titus, it says, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So I would say obligation is better than not at all. But doing it because of grace is so much better. So you have a good point.
And having a law is very normal.
And having what?
Law.
Law, okay.
In the Middle East, we don't have much freedom. And being obligated by law is not much. The law enforces us to enforce the law even if we don't want it. Because if they don't have any laws, we won't obey it. We just do whatever we want. Uh-huh. This is in the Middle East.
Yeah.
This is what makes the difference between people in the West who have rules but do it out of love, and difference from the Middle East if we don't have any laws. If I leave my son to take his free will and to go home, to go outside the house, he won't come back if there are no laws.
Mm-hmm. Okay. However, as parents, when we have little children, we give them lots of rules. Of course we do. But not because we want to control them, because we want to protect them. But as they grow older, we're training them to be free. We're training them to act responsibly. So as they become adults, our goal is not to control them. Our goal is that they become responsible adults. And if we have too much control, then we have immature adults. And I'm sure that there are differences in the culture. Obviously, there are large differences in culture. How you apply this lesson here in Jordan will be different than how we apply it in the U.S. I suggest you follow up this lesson by suggesting how best to apply this in Jordan. But I believe the principle remains. is that we should be motivated out of grace, not out of obligation. In fact, that's the message of the book of Galatians. Christ set us free. But here's the question. What are you doing with your freedom? Are you using it for selfishness? Then it would have been better if you never gave freedom. Maybe you do need more control. Young Christians need a few more rules, don't they? Yeah, we need strong discipling on those young Christians, yes? But the goal is not control. It's training so that we would serve God more. So I hope that makes sense. Okay? Are we done?
No, he has a question.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll think. Do you have one question or two? Because he wants to ask a question and I want to ask a question.
All right.
My question is two parts.
Okay.
So I didn't just end. The first thing is one of your five pillars of memberships was, I don't remember the exact word in English, but was to give yourself to the leaders.
أحد الأشياء لا أحد الأشخاص أعطيه مجال أترجم أحد الأشياء yes إنك تخضع للقائد.
So my first question is,
سؤال الأول هو
what if you disagree with your leader?
ماذا لو تعترض مع القائد تبعك؟
How do you go about it?
كيف تحكي معه؟ ماذا لو هو أخطأ؟
And how do you resolve conflict? That's one.
كيف بتحل المشكلة؟
هذا one. Second part of my question was you were talking about control, which is ironically something we're going through lots nowadays.
Okay.
And it comes from both your leaders and your parents and your brothers and probably your sons and daughters.
بيحكي عن التحكم إنه في كتير تحكم إذا كان من الشغل أو الأهل أو الأشياء في الموجودة.
When does control become a disease?
أنت التحكم يصبح مرض.
I think we can understand maybe from the parenting situation. We all know what it's like when the parents are overly controlling their children. They think they're doing it out of love. But it's a misplaced kind of love. I can't answer your question specifically. But I'd say in most cases it's really a matter of opinion. One person says we should do it this way. Another person says we should do it this way. Another person says we should do it this way. But in order for the church to work, we have to cooperate together. So I say if you disagree, support it anyway. There are very, very, very rare cases where what's being proposed is flat out wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if the church is having to find a direction, we need leaders. In Judges chapter 5, verse 2, it says, when the princes of Israel take the lead, and the people willingly offer themselves,
it
says, praise the Lord. And like I said, when you disagree on a matter of opinion, support the decision anyway. It's good for you, it's good for everybody. Now, what if the leader is trying to control people? That's not the lesson I'm teaching. That's a separate lesson. It's a lesson about leadership. But Christian leadership is servant leadership. But that's not what my lesson was about tonight. That's not what the lesson tonight was about. The lesson tonight was addressed to the members. Now we could have a whole other lesson. Not about Christian membership, but about Christian leadership. That's another lesson. But Jesus gave the standard, did he not? The Christian leader is the servant of all. So if that's not happening, that's another problem. And I could deal with that as well. So that's a legitimate question. But I think too much control in the church is unhealthy in general. But there's specific situations. And I can't address every specific situation. But like I said, I believe too much control is unhealthy for the church. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, John. And thank you.